for about 48 Christmases out of the 53 that I've been alive. I can probably go back to about 5 years old and tell you about a few things that I can remember about what happened, or things that were, you know, just snapshots and little video clips in my head of what it was like to go through those Christmases. And, you know, some of them kind of fade in the middle and they kind of come back near the end. All those celebrations in one way or another have had something similar to them. All of those 48 celebrations of the birth of Jesus have different aspects to them. Because, gosh, there's 48 of them, right? Well, you know, as a kid, when I was little, it was very easy for me to identify with the baby Jesus, or with being a child. And, you know, I was one, he was one. The story's all about him being born, being a, you know, being a baby. So that was kind of something I could relate to. Not only that, you know, it was a time where I remember we did a lot of different events and we were around other people, and it was a lot of fun. And of course, I was a kid, so it was about presents, right? Then I got a little bit older, and as I was preteen, teen, you know, the unfortunate thing is, I think Christmas became more about me in the way that I saw what I was celebrating. Not only that, things got a little bit more logistically challenged, because about the time I was 10, my folks got divorced, and then we ended up in more than one place every Christmas. And so Christmas had a strange dynamic to it. Never bad, just different. Okay? And in that, I probably began to lose somewhat of what the message of Christmas was all about. Yeah, I celebrated. Yeah, we probably went to church, heard all about it. But in terms of what was going on in my heart, there was a change. It was something different. Then whenever I got to be a young adult, an adult, and a believer in Jesus, Christmas began to take on a new dimension, a different dimension. You know, Christmas really became more about sharing the message of Jesus as opposed to me getting, or even me having free time, which is always a nice thing around the holidays. But there was a different intention. There was more purpose. There was more intentionality behind it. I guess the one thing that I'm saying is the message has never changed. In 48 years that I can remember of celebrating, I'm the one who's changed through all that time. But the message never did. So what I want to talk about today, what I want to do today, is a little ooey-gooey. I'm not exactly sure how this is going to go. I want you to have a little fun this morning. I want you to chuckle and laugh a little bit if it works for you. If it doesn't, you can just say, Rick, I wish you hadn't done that. And I can live with that, okay? We're going to talk about how we can be like the shepherds who were out in the field, saw the angels, heard the message, went to Bethlehem, saw the baby, and then got the t-shirt. No, they didn't get the t-shirt. What they did after they saw the baby was they told the story. And that is what I want to focus on today, telling the story. So John, go to the scripture real quick. It's on the next slide, I think. Familiar scripture. Luke's version of what took place. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph. Yeah, I always thought that had to be a little bit. You know, I know they didn't have to go 45 minutes across Savannah or Atlanta or anything, but, you know, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph. I don't exactly know where they were in the fields, but I don't know how long it really took them. It made it sound like they were there, but, you know, they had to travel there, right? They did hurry. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, They spread the word considering what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. So, I come back to, how can we be like the shepherds this Christmas? The message doesn't change, and we're the ones who get to take the message. I want to show you, count them four, videos that kind of reflect how some people have chosen to communicate like the shepherds. Some are fun. Most of them are fun. I want to do something fun. All right? Are you ready? And then I've got a couple of questions after each one of the videos. So John, roll the first one.
Christmas Eve and I was fast asleep, all snugged and warm and tucked under the sheets, when all of a sudden something grabbed me by the collar, but I couldn't make a noise, I couldn't even holler. Honestly, I couldn't believe my eyes, it was me and BP, nativity size.
Is it real or just a dream? BP and Master E
unwrapping this song nativitively.
As we looked around, we couldn't help but wonder, was this some kind of Christmas spell we were under?
It seemed we are not the only things that don't belong, and that is why we had to write this unwrapped song.
There's something wrong with my nativity set. So many things that don't seem very Christmassy yet. What are we doing here and what's the meaning? Oh snap, it seems this Christmas story we will have to unwrap.
Hey, look over here. In the midst of all this glory, there are little green army men in a war story. I guess that Jesus' birth wasn't just a holy night, because the Prince of Peace had come to Earth to win the holy fight.
Now hold up, the Justice League is over there, because Jesus came to Earth to make the unfair fair. So we gotta treat others like we wanna be treated, if injustice in the world is gonna be defeated.
Now don't freak out, but I spotted a bear. It's okay, he won't eat you, your flesh he won't tear. He's holding a heart that represents love, the love that Jesus brought to Earth from heaven above.
There's something wrong with my nativity set. So many things that don't seem very Christmassy yet. What are we doing here and what's the meaning? Oh snap, it seems this Christmas story we will have to unwrap.
While it seemed at first glance that everything was out of place, if you look a little closer, it will hit you in the face. The Christmas Untold Story is our story too. It's the never-ending story of Jesus and you. That's a wrap. That's a wrap. Unwrap. Unwrap.
They're a creative bunch of guys. I don't know if you remember the Mac and PC things we've done in the past where you've got the Christian and the... Anyway. Same two guys. Brothers. So, I have a couple of questions for you. What do you think is the point of the video? Okay, extra things added around Christmas. Stephen.
Well, I think the purpose was that we can't, it's not that contained story. It's not this little baby came to earth, but it's what Jesus came to earth to do and what he came to make right.
Okay. It's not just it's not a little contained story. It's about what Jesus came to do to make the world right. Okay. Paraphrase that well enough. Yes. The story is personalized. It's about us and Jesus, and that's the key. Bobby. Yes. Okay. There is a beginning, Jesus being born, but our relationship with Jesus, there is no end. Okay. Anything else?
How about angels?
Angels. How about them? Did you notice how the things that as they were doing the thing, and you know it's in, you know, wrap and unwrap, you got to play on that, of course. the things that were in the nativity scene, what were the things that they pointed out? Army men, superheroes, teddy bear. Okay. Do those things fit normally in a nativity scene? I never got one in a box that looked like that. Never had any superheroes unless I put one in there. I thought it was kind of interesting because they talked about things that didn't fit as you looked at the nativity scene. How many things in your experience as a believer during this season that happen in your life don't fit? At least it looks like they don't fit. But in the wrap or the unwrap, what they did was explained how those things that seemingly didn't fit could fit. So one of the things that I want to challenge you this Christmas with is finding a way for those things that you think don't fit in your relationship with Jesus. How do they fit? Does that make sense to you? So how are the actors like shepherds, the shepherds in the story? Spreading the word. Showed up on the scene. What? We don't know, you know. They use the medium that they were familiar with. What do you think that the shepherds did? What was the pastime back in those days, as far as we know? What did people do? They didn't have TV or radio. Told stories. So why do you think these guys chose this medium and this method? You know, there's not a right answer. This is not an objective test. Relevance of it? Okay, how would the things in that video be relevant? Okay. They melded two things together, two genres. They melded together music and comedy. People swallow that pretty well, don't they? John, next video. And if that doesn't get you, you're not breathing. Questions. How would the people that you know who don't know Jesus respond to this? They're sitting there in the mall, chomping away on their Chinese. And all of a sudden, some gal gets up, starts to sing. Then there's two, then there's five, then there's 10, then there's 80. Roll their eyes. Oh, they're at it again. They won't leave me alone. I can't even shop in peace. Yes, Bev. But they would listen. And there's another couple. If you happen to be a computer person and you like to look at stuff on YouTube, there have been several flash mob kind of things like this in malls done over the last five or six years. And the video on any of them is incredible. To see what was, you know, how it all... It's a miraculous kind of thing. We did do it with a dance. You know, one of the things, and I've had a chance, I took a chance this last couple of days, talk about what we do with live nativity to some people at Savannah State. One student, one colleague. And to say, you know, we do a live nativity scene with critters and all, and you know, if somebody walks up and says they want to be Joseph, you can be Joseph for 30 minutes. What? We'll give you the clothing, you know, put it on over with you. There's something about being accessible to people that's making the story accessible. What we're going to do here 2 days this next week and at Georgetown 1 day this next week, we're making the story something that people can figuratively and literally walk into. That's got all kind of possibilities. And sometimes we think we're just doing an event. No. You're not just coming here to fix fries or put together hot dogs. You're not just coming here to make goodies and put them on a table. You're not just giving out coloring books, and you're not just sitting there in the middle of the straw trying to stay away from the Christmas eggs. You are giving people a chance to enter into the story and see and experience what it means to be a part of the story. Yes. If you wish, we'll take pictures. And then we'll have somebody out who'll rap and talk about how Don fits in the picture. Did y'all hear the story? Did you hear what he said? That while Stephen and Lisa Strickland were being Joseph and Mary in the Nativity last year, a little girl who's about 4 or 5, who had been petting the animals, came up to Lisa and said, "What is all this about?" And Lisa got a chance to tell her in a 4-year-old way what the story was. An opportunity. We assume that all these kids that are coming know the story. That's not a good assumption in our day and age. We're assuming that all those adults understand the story. Pop up that next question for me. So how are these people like the shepherds? We've talked a little bit. Bev got there a little bit with that, but in anything else that you would like to add to that thought? How are the people in the mall doing the hallelujah chorus like the shepherds? Everybody would have been entertained, but that was not what it was about. And I think those people who have had some brush in their childhood, because most people who are my age, even whenever they were young, not everybody, but most of them, had some interaction with the church and with the message. I don't know that I can say that that's necessarily true for anybody that's like under 35. But people over that age seem to have some interaction, some brush. And so that kind of thing reminds them. Even for my 70-something-year-old dad, when he hears that, he remembers what he experienced when he was a kid. And even if he doesn't necessarily always demonstrate that he agrees right now with that message, he fondly goes back to that message when he hears that. Show me the next one.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sounds, make it safe to wrench like me.
I know that one's a little different. But what are the positive aspects of this method for sharing good news about Jesus? And you know, there was a lot of snow there. You know, so wherever they are, there's a lot of snow. Now, I've seen other ones, not of that same location, but other people who have the same skill. And, part of them taping while it was happening were the cars that were coming by the street and stopping. and then they would stop and they go, and then they would kind of move on. And then somebody else would come and stop. And then they move on, you know. And I don't know if they, you know, some people who have done that, I've seen them put the little cardboard signs in their front yard and it'll say something like, turn to, 101.3 for the music, and you can actually get the synchronization of the music. But imagine, you know, they can't see and hear at the same time, where, you know, we, on the magic of YouTube, can see and hear all at the same time. Because, you know, if somebody's doing that in the neighborhood and the music's that loud, somebody's not going to like that every night for hours and hours. Which is, the next question was, the negative aspects of this method for sharing the good news with you. I'm going to burst your bubble too, and because this is something I didn't realize or I didn't know. Just Joy to the World was not penned as a Christmas song. Joy to the World was written independently of any celebration, and it wasn't written to commemorate the birth of Jesus. I didn't know that. But it works for me. So, what about these methods? Good, bad, anything you want to say? Richmond Hill. Now, I will tell you, does anybody, I know Don knows where this is, does anybody not know where Townsend, Georgia is? Townsend's not a big place. But there's a strip of homes in Townsend. And the whole street you can see from a satellite. Because everybody on the street uses all those lights like in the movie Deck the Halls. And you could just about see it from the plane easily. Because it's all lit up. And you can drive down the street. And some of them have little driveways. You can drive around a little, and there's, you're going through all these little nativity scenes. It's just, you're thinking, this is in the middle of nowhere. You have to drive 35 minutes to get there. It's nowhere. You go, you see all the lights, and you drive out of nowhere. But it's, we lived in Dallas, Fort Worth for a while. Some of those lights stay on year round. Dallas is half lit up all the time anyway. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the outline of the buildings. Okay. That's one thing that I'm not going to have time to talk about after the last video, but it is this. And that is that every one of these people or groups of people, it didn't just happen. They thought intentionally about a way to tell the story. Bev, I'd love to, but I've got to go to my next video and then we're done. Okay? All right, John.
Welcome to Beatbox Bible. Loading Bible text. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Loading characters. Angel. Narrator. Shepherd. Play.
In the day of Caesar Augustus, he decreed to proceed with an empirical census. The first Barcarinius was the Syrian nexus to enlist and insist people get on the next bus. Back to the shack where in fact they came from. The empire struck him back to boost their income. Now Joseph was a member of David's kin. He made a steer for Judea in Bethlehem. He went down from the town of Nazareth in Galilee, taking his fiancée, Mary, near delivery. And during their stay, nature had its way. Put a date in the diary for the king's birthday. Well, out in the ballpark, she hit a home run. Mary gave birth to her firstborn son. No hotel, motel, custom baby changer. She wrapped the baby up and laid him in a manger. Meanwhile, 8 miles, shepherds in the wild star protecting the sheep from the nighttime hostile. To the surprise coming from the skies, an angel of the Lord did materialize like lightning. God's glory was brightening, lit up like day. The angel was frightening. Chill out, my friends, there's no need for trepidation. Got a message for the world and insulation information. Be delighted and excited. The rocket's been ignited. The party has started and you have been invited for today in Bethlehem. That's David's town. A boy has been born who will wear the crown. He's the Savior and the Lord. There's no one higher. God's anointed one. We're talking Messiah. But you require a sign from this divine arranger. Look for a baby snuggled in a manger. The angel was joined by his heavenly gang, praising God, holy squad, the multitude sang.
Glory to God above time and space, peace to the people that he turns his face.
And then the angel was gone, yes they finished their song. The shepherds had a chat about the heavenly throng.
Let's go to Bethlehem and see this occasion. The Lord has reported we need little persuasion.
So they hurried to the town of Joseph and Mary, lying in the feeding trough as a miracle baby. And after what they'd seen of the nativity scene, they started spilling the beans like a coffee machine. So undeterred, the shepherd spread the word. The people were amazed at the story that they heard. But Mary was smart, kept these things in her heart. Pondering and wondering, we live in this part. And with hearts that burned, the shepherds returned, praising holy God for the things they had learned, about all things they had seen, the wonderful things that had been, all working together like an oiled machine. And 8 days later, he was circumcised, received, preconceived the name the angel had advised. We use the Greek version of the Hebrew, and thus, a name that means salvation from God,
Jesus.
Creativity, huh? You don't know if you heard it. The first word Steve said was one of our little catchphrases right here. Form follows function. And that the message, there's many, many ways to distribute the message. And the message stays the same. The means, the modes, modalities, mediums, all can change, but the message stays the same. Well, I'll have to send you the YouTube link. No. No. Doesn't matter how much you clap. Yes. Oh, that would be interesting. Yeah. All right. We've kind of reached the maximum on our time, but I hope you've had fun today. And, you know, I hope that it encouraged you to, because as fun or as different as these things have been, they've all been focused on Jesus and telling the story one way or another. Hopefully we can see our opportunities as we do the live nativity. We can see our opportunity to invite people into the story. But we have that same opportunity throughout the week. We're gonna go to Walmart and we're gonna talk to cashiers who are exhausted or who are tired of people being grumpy. And you can say, you know, you got kids? Yeah, I like animals. You can come and pet the animals and see the live nativity and, you know, hey, you want to put your child, make your child an angel for 30 minutes? Well, they can be an angel for 30 minutes. Maybe it'll make a difference. So, let's pray. Yeah, if I have to. Father God, we bless your name. We thank you that we do know the story, that, Lord, it has changed us. And we ask today that as we encounter people and opportunities in this season, that we will be like the shepherds and we will find ways to tell the story that are true to who we are and true to the people that we need to share. And we'll let you do the divine and miraculous stuff, Lord, because we know that's how you work. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.